أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد وعلى آله وأصحابه كما أراد أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله we all praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And we thank him for enabling us to gather here today to learn about his favored and most beautiful servants, which are known as Ibadur Rahman. Last week, we began our journey on understanding who are these special, these exclusive people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions explicitly in the Quran. And we learned that a life of Islam, a life of Iman, and life of Ubudiyyah is a life that matters the most. Because when we enter into our graves, we will not be questioned about what titles and what positions that we held in the dunya, but rather we will be asked a simple question, are you a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? That is all that will be asked. Irrespective of everything that we chase for in the dunya, that is the only thing that will be asked in the grave. And similarly, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be two groups, those who were the servants of Allah and those who were not the true servants of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we learned that we are all abid of Allah Azza wa Jal. And abid means all created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are all servants of Allah. But from the abid, there are many who do not believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, do not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not what we want to be from. We want to be from the second category, not just from the abid, but those who are the ibad. The ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are actively recognizing and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then become the ibad of ibadur rahman, the special ones who carry the rahmaniyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So previously, we understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about two beautiful characteristics, which is hawna and salama. These were the two characteristics. Ibadur rahman. يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا How they walk was a very, very important thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, i.e. how we carry ourselves as servants, not carry ourselves in the world that we own the world, that we are powerful, we are mighty, or we have certain positions, but no. We always recognize and we look above and recognize that He is our Lord. And we, wherever we are in the world, we are the servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how we walk and then how we talk as well, how we talk to one another, how we engage in good conversation and remain dignified, even though there are people there who want us to react in a bad and a negative manner. So walking in a humble manner and remaining dignified in our conversations, these were the two characteristics of Ibadur Rahman. And if we do not have these, then it's something that we have to practice. Nothing comes from, just out of thin air. You have to work for any particular thing. If you want to be really good in football or good in any particular field, you have to work hard, focus, be determined, and repeatedly do that until it becomes natural for you. So the Ibadur Rahman are those who constantly remember that they are the servants of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they walk in a humble manner, and they speak in a dignified and a moderate manner. And these are the external characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes of His servants. Because we know that there are two types of mu'amalat. One is the interaction, the dealings that we have with Allah Azza wa Jal. And the other mu'amala, the dealings that we have, are with humanity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here showcases how we need to deal with people, and then how we need to also deal and interact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to be humble, and if you want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what do you have to do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a very important lesson. If you want to be humble and close to me, and if you want to have a good conversation with me, then be humble to my people. Be humble on earth and have good conversations with humanity. Because when you are good to people and good on earth, then naturally you will also be inclined towards goodness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In many ahadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, or rather, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam informs us that مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسَ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ, that the person who cannot be thankful to people, How will he ever be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So here at the beginning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how you carry yourself, how you drive, how you walk, how you behave, and how you conduct yourself with people, is a reflection of your inner character, of how you actually are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today we come on to the next verse of the Ibadur Rahman. And for those who may have missed anything, you can, inshallah, click on YouTube and also follow on the mosque website and various other social media channels as well to find out what we discussed last week on Monday. So today's verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us and reminds us, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. Again, two characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. And I'll quickly translate. That those who spend their nights, لِرَبِّهِمْ, for their Lord, سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا, in just two states. We all spend our nights. And whether we spend it for ourselves or for other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying that my true servants, when they spend their nights, they spend it for me. And how do they spend it? Sujjadan wa qiyama. Either in a state of sajda or either in a state of qiyam. So this is the next characteristic, these two characteristics that we will quickly, inshallah, unpack today. So the question for us all is, how do we actually spend our nights? Most of us are spending our nights on the TV until we knock out, watching a series until we knock out, on our phones or talking to our friends, gupshup and stuff like that, or going out. Other people in the world, they're spending their nights in clubs, they're spending their nights in pubs, they're spending their night out and about and doing all types of put and things. Other people are having fun. And some people are just absolutely tired and they just knock out and they're just sleeping. But they're sleeping for themselves. Why? So that they can recuperate and get up in the morning. So this is how normal people spend their nights on average. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not talking about normal people. He's talking about His special people. That even my people and their sleep, their walk is for me. Their talk and conversation is for me. And even their sleep is for me. They do it for my sake. And how do they do it? They spend their night either in sujjadan or qiyama. So we know from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that after Maghrib time, the shayateen are set loose and they go throughout the world. And they go and they cause havoc, etc. And this is why one of the things, important things for our children as well, that after Maghrib time, unnecessarily, they should not be out and about. After Maghrib, they should be within their home, where it is safe and secure, and the shayateen cannot enter, rather than our children. Unfortunately now, what is the mahal? What is the situation that our children, as soon as it's night time, mom, dad, I'm going out. Kitte, where, who, with, what time will you come back? Doesn't matter, we're just going out. This is the time of darkness, the time of evil, the time of shayateen, where they are rampant. What do you think the shayateen are going to do? They're going to tell your children to go home and go to the masjid and pray? Or they're going to say, come here, do this with us and do that with us. So after Maghrib time, the shayateen are out all the way till midnight or till the morning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is talking about that my people, when it is night time, they are not out and about doing all of these stuff. No, after the night Isha prayer, just like the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he would remain within the home, he would spend time with his wife and with his family, and then he would sleep early. Unfortunately, our children, on average, they go to sleep at 10, 11 o'clock. And when it's school holidays, they go to sleep in the morning at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And those who have no kind of curfew, etc., our youngsters, they are out. And the parents do not know where they are out and what they are doing, let alone whether they should be in that particular place or not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is talking about when the night comes, where are my people? They're not in all of these worldly places. If they are at home and if when they should be at home, even when they are home, they are in a state of thinking and remembering and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one thing that we need to remember, that the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is that in the middle of the night, when? In the middle of the night or in the third of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest of the heavens. So this is very beautiful to consider why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never comes at Fajr time and descends to the lower heavens. He never comes at Zuhr and descends to the lower heavens. Or Asr, or Maghrib, or Isha. You won't find any hadith which talks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest of heavens for any of the fara'id. But no, in the middle of the night or in the third of the night when His true servants get up and do Qiyamul Layl, do tahajjud, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His majesty and His infinite mercy, He descends to the lowest of the heavens to see His true servants and His true slaves. So ask yourself, what are we doing in the middle of the night? What are we doing in the third part of the night? The majority of our youngsters, Allah jane what they are doing. Or if we are, even within our homes, we're either doing put or doing silly things or just wasting our times, or we just knocked out and we don't know what's going on. So this is an important verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, that my people during the night time are in these two particular states. So I want to contextualize this a bit more. Every single one of us, we go to work. Yes, correct. Even if you're getting benefits, you're still working for your benefits in some way or form. But we all go to work because we have to, not because we want to. Nobody here, including my, well, alhamdulillah, I want to be here. But generally speaking, nobody really wants to go to work. They have to go to work, because it's part of necessity. And now ask yourself this question as well. It's a very similar thing for salah as well. If you ask the youngsters this day and age, nobody truly wants to read their salah. They read their salah because they have to. This is a reality, whether we are willingly accepting that or not. But generally speaking, with our youngsters and the newer generation, they have to read salah. They don't want to read salah. They have to go to work. They don't want to go to work. And if you ask youngsters that if they could have a wish, what would they wish for salah? They'd say, we wish we only had one salah in the day. It would make life easier. Or we'd wish we only have two salahs, Zuhr and Asr. These are fine. Fajr badi mushkil hai, Isha and Maghrib are really, really hard, especially during summertime. So these are the situation that we're currently in. Unfortunately, this is the way it is. And some people, even I've heard these conversations from their mouths that we wish it was only once a week. You know, Jummah, once a week. This, unfortunately, this is the way the human mentality is, unfortunately. This is the way we are. So go back to what I was saying, that we have to work, even though we don't want to truly work. We have to pray the five daily prayers, even though somewhere deep down it's hard because you have to really push ourselves. Chalo yaar, parni paisi. Why? Because it's made fard upon us, not because we want to. So when you go to work, imagine meeting your manager or your supervisor, etc., and showing your work five times a day. You have to show your productivity. You have to show every single thing that you have done that particular day, five times a day. And you go and you show that to your manager, and the manager said, oh, Tika, you've done what you had to do. Tika? Not because you wanted to do it. But imagine going to your manager and saying, oh, I've done this much overtime, even though I didn't have to do it. You don't have to pay me. You don't have to do anything. But here I've done all of these extra hours. I've done all of these extra things. How would your manager feel when you say, I've done all of the things I had to do, and now I've done all of the things that I didn't have to do, but I've still done it? It'd be a very, very different relationship that you have with your manager. And this is the same thing with our salah as well. The majority of us pray our salah because we have to pray our salah. It is a command. It is fard. But very few of us, I'm talking about, you know, the 2 billion Muslims in the world, very few from those 2 billion Muslims actually pray, and then they go and do this Qiyamul Layl with regular attendance. And they really, really work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that أَقْرَبَ مَا يَكُونَ الْعَبْدِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي فِي جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ, that the most closest that we can be to our Lord, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that Jawf means dead, middle of the night, or in the third of the night. This is where we can be the most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because we have to at Fajr, not because we have to at Zuhr, or Asr, or Maghrib, or Isha, but we want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of the night. So imagine these people who are the Ibadur Rahman, they are getting up not because they have to, because they want to, they choose to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just try to think in your mind, how many things do we have to do in our life? We have to listen to our parents. We have to listen to our employer. We have to do so many things. How many things do we want to do for our employer or for our friends or for other things? And the Ibadur Rahman are those who choose and want to spend their nights in sajda and in qiyam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the people who will be the closest to Allah azza wa jal on the day of qiyamah. They will be closest to him in the dunya, they'll be close to him in the grave, and they'll be in the first rows on the day of qiyamah. These are the people who didn't have to do things, but they wanted and they chose to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does sajda and what does qiyam actually do? It humbles us, and he actually brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not talking about the sajda of fard salah, but the sajda and the qiyam of the nafl salah, of the qiyam that we do, of the tahajjud that we do to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hassan al-Basri, he was once asked that, I'm having a hard time performing qiyam. And this is for every single one of us, because we just about do our fard, let alone go towards extra ibadah, optional choosing to do that ibadah. So a person asked him, I'm having a hard time doing qiyam. What is the solution? And Imam Hassan al-Basri, he mentions, كَبَّلَتْكَ ذُنُوبُكَ, that your sins have chained you down. It is the sins that prevent you from actually getting up in the middle of the night and shackling yourself and then standing up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this regard, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam also mentions that every time we sleep, the shaitan comes and he ties three knots on us. How many knots? Three knots. And then he tells you, go and sleep. Haram, sukoon nal. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Just chill, bro. Just go to sleep. Knock out. And the shaitan, this is there. He's in your bed, tying knots upon you. Why do you tie a knot? To keep something down, to control something, to prevent it from getting out of control. This is what the shaitan is, three knots. And when Bani Adam, when you wake up, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you wake up and you praise Allah azza wa jal, one knot is untied. And then when you go and do your wudu, a second knot is untied. And then when you go and pray qiyam, the third knot is untied. Then your day will be full of prosperity, of energy, of barakah. But if you do not get up and praise Allah, and do not do your wudu, and do not pray your salah, then those three knots will be on you for the rest of the day. And you'll feel lousy and slouchy and just irritable all day. You won't have that energy and that zeal. Why? Because the knot is still tying you down, and the shaitan is controlling those knots. So Imam Hassan al-Basri, he mentions that, كَبَّلَتْكَ ذُنُوبُكَ, that is your sins that actually chain you down and prevent you from actually getting up in the middle of the night and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So going back to the first verse of Ibadur Rahman, those who are arrogant and look down upon other people and walk arrogantly and boastfully on the dunya, these are the people who will not be able to perform qiyam in the way of Allah azza wa jal. Those who are harsh tongued and worded with other people, these are the people whose hearts will not be soft enough to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my request to every single one of you is, go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stand before Allah azza wa jal with love, because you want to be there. Because you want to be there. We did Ramadan because it was fard. We had to do Ramadan. How many of us are doing Mondays and Thursdays? How many of us are doing the 13th, 14th, the 15th because we want to? How many of us, we did Taraweeh because we had to. We had to do Taraweeh apparently. But how many of us now are taking that Taraweeh and saying, we want to do Qiyamul Layl. We want to do Tahajjud. We want to be from Ibadur Rahman who are yabituna li rabbihim sujjatan wa qiyama. So go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you go to Allah azza wa jal in the middle of the night, go because you want to. And don't just go seeking something that you don't. Don't just go because you want forgiveness, or you want mercy, or you want sawab, or you want wealth, or you want Jannah, or you want akhirah, or you want all of the. Put all of this list aside. Put all of this list aside and just stand up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to ilallah lillah. Go to Allah only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you miss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the difference between ordinary salah that we do five times a day and those ibadur rahman who then get up in the middle of the night and say, Allah, I'm here, because I want to be here. I'm here because I miss you. I'm here because I want to talk to you. I'm here because I want to share with you. I'm here because I want your presence. You give your focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your devotion, and you have this exclusive audience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of the night. You don't get this exclusive audience during all of the fara'id because Allah's mercy isn't there. He descends to the lowest of the heavens in the middle of the night because you have left your bed, left your wife, left your comfort, left all of those things, and you want to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the coronation that just took place, we had over 2,500 people exclusively from 8 billion people in the world. Only 2,500 were selected by the king and the queen and the royal family to come and be there in their presence out of 8 billion people. From the 67 million people here in the UK, only a few hundreds were exclusively chosen to be there in the presence of the king and the queen. Is this not the case? It is. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single night is giving you His exclusive presence. He's saying, come to me and I am here for you. This is this special RSVP, this exclusive RSVP that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you. What does RSVP mean? It's a French word, but it means please respond, or respond if you please. This is what it means. So every night there's an invitation to you sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is saying, please respond. Respond if you please. Now ask ourselves, how many of us respond? Where are we? Where are our children? Where are our families? What are we doing? How are our nights? But those ibadur rahman, they respond and they seek the exclusive audience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for them. He's waiting for them, and if those who do not come, then they do not receive the exclusive audience from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to really try to become move from the ordinary to become the extraordinary servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just start. Qiyamul Layl doesn't have to be 4 or 8 or 12 or 16 or 20 rak'ah. Just start with 2. Many times we would just wake up in the middle of the night. If you've woken up, get up, do wudu, pray to nafl, and this would be far better for you than anything else that you do during the entire day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ. This very, very important word, لِرَبِّهِمْ. Those who do it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to show off. You know, when you come to salah, there's still a certain potential where there is riya. Riya means showing off. Oh, bara namazi, bara haji, bara ye, bara this, because you're coming and you're praying in congregation. Allah knows your heart, but there's still a potential that you're showing off. But there is no potential of you showing off in the middle of the night when everybody else is in the world doing whatever they want to do, and when the other majority are sleeping, dead, like horses, but you are standing up in the middle of the night just solely for your Lord. There is no showing off in that regard. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لِرَبِّهِمْ. You're getting up solely and exclusively for your Lord. Have you ever seen a person who comes to you the following day, says, Imam Sahib, I'm really, really tired. Acha, why are you tired? I was up all night praying Qiyam. You won't find people saying stuff like that. I was up doing all of this all night. Nobody does that. Only the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have nothing to show off for. They're doing it only for Allah azza wa jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لِرَبِّهِمْ. My true servants will get up for me, because they choose to get up for me. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised Qiyam so much in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated salah, but the Qiyam that we do, which is the extra salah that we do, that has been praised so much in the Qur'an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that only the muhsineen, the true people of ihsan, the true people who excel, the true people of ikhlas, these are the true people who do Qiyamul Layl. كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. That these people, they would hardly sleep. They would hardly sleep. And we, if we don't have our 8 to 12 hours of beauty sleep, then we can't even function during the day. But it is a very important thing to understand that the more we eat, the more your body will get used to eating that food. The more you sleep, the more your body will get used to that sleep. The more you talk, the more you'll get used to talking. The Prophet ﷺ said that eat less, speak less, and sleep less. These are the three crucial steps that if you implement in your life, you will succeed. It is your zuban that gets you in trouble by talking too much or talking in the wrong way. It is your stomach that gets you in trouble because you end up earning halal or haram because you want to feed your stomach and all of the luxuries of the dunya. And it is because of the sleep that you end up missing these exclusive nights and this presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or staying up and doing put. So worship more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when should you worship more? In the middle of the night. So this is not just doing the basics, which is the five daily salahs are the basics of our deen. Fard of Fajr, Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. This is the basic. This is the minimum that we have to do. But the true servants of Allah don't do the minimum. They do more because they choose to do more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ أَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفٌ وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. That the true servants of Allah azza wa jal are those who are sleepless at night. They were moving right and they're moving to the left. And they are thinking, how can I sleep? How can I sleep when I don't know if I'll be awake tomorrow or not? Or what will be my end? These are the thoughts that are going through their mind. What will be my destiny? What will be my akhirah? They have this fear, this anxiety, this worry of how they will be on the day of Qiyamah or when they return to Allah Azza wa Jal. Now just put yourself in that particular position. Imagine you have a court hearing. How will your sleep be the night before? Imagine you have an exam, a major exam. How will your sleep be the night before? Imagine you have a major interview the following day. Imagine you're going to marry somebody tomorrow. How will your hal be? Whether it's marriage, whether it's a court day, whether it's something else. The night before, your kayfiyah will be very, very different because you know this is a tremendous day that is about to come. These true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're in this constant state of flux. Thinking and worrying and thinking that where will they be tomorrow? Where will they be when they return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And because of this stress and this worry and anxiety, they get up and what do? The only way that they can find tranquility and sukoon, they pray, they do their wudu and they pray qiyamul layl and they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the people that Allah azza wa jal loves. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala mentions, ثَلَاثَةٌ يُحِبُّهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَدْحَكُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَيَسْتَبْشِرْ بِهِمْ. There are three kinds of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them, smiles at them, and gives them glad tidings. Three beautiful things. He loves them, smiles at them, and give them glad tidings. Who are those three people? And the Prophet ﷺ mentions that one of those people, that is that individual who had a comfortable bed. And he was sleeping next to his wife or to his spouse. It could be the other way around as well, that the wife is sleeping with the husband. He has a comfortable bed, sleeping with his spouse, but he leaves the comfort of his bed and the warmth of his bed. And he leaves his spouse and he gets up just to perform the qiyam, just to perform the tahajjud. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَكَدْ. Even though he could easily carry on sleeping, because it's not fard upon him, it's not wajib upon him, it's not sunnah mu'akkada upon him to get up in the middle of the night. No, he's done all of the bare minimum or the requirements that he was imposed, that was imposed upon him by Allah. But in spite of that, in spite of his comfortable bed and his wife and his ease, he gets up in the middle of the night. It wasn't mandatory and he does it just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah what? Loves him. Allah smiles at him. And Allah gives him glad tidings. Why? Because Allah knows he's only doing it for me. Everything else that we do during the day, there's always this potential of riyakari. But doing this qiyamul layl, yabituna li rabbihim, spending our nights for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of sajda or qiyam, this is what Allah azza wa jalla loves. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam once came to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam and said, wa'alam, which means know for a fact, be assured, ya Muhammad, anna sharaf al-mu'min qiyamul layl. That know that the sharaf, the honor, the dignity, the maqam of a mu'min, of a believer, is where? He didn't say in salah, in zakah, in hajj, in all of these things, or in recitation of the Quran. He said, fi qiyamil layl, in qiyamil layl. Your sharaf, your honor, your true maqam, you will achieve that maqam when you stand up in the middle of the night for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So qiyamul layl doesn't necessarily mean you have to get up in the middle of the night, but qiyamul layl is anything, technically speaking, from Isha onwards. So once you prayed your witr, After witr, if you pray any nawafil, that is still considered to be qiyamul layl. Why? Because it's after your fard and your wajib, so it will still be classified as qiyamul layl. But that is the poor man's qiyamul layl. Who's? Poor man's qiyamul layl. That's the cheap and easy way of being classified as a qiyamul layl. The true qiyamul layl, or the tahajjud that we pray, is the one where we go to sleep. And after going to sleep, then we exert that effort and we get out of the comfort of our bed and our partner, and then we get up and we do wudu and then we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is true qiyamul layl. That's a rich man's qiyamul layl. That is the qiyamul layl that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to strive towards in the middle of the night or in the third of the night, which is roughly about an hour to 45 minutes before Fajr time, which is the best time and the closest time that you can be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't have to pray 40 or 80 rak'at of, you know, nawafil. No, start off with two. Then develop 4 and 6 and 8 and 12, whatever you are able to do so, but do that. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions, مَنْ قَامَ بِعَشْرِ آيَةٍ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. The person who stands up in the middle of the night and just recites 10 ayahs. How many? 10. 10 is not hard. Read Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Ikhlas, 10 is done. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. So the person who stands up and just performs 2 raka'at and prays 10 ayahs, recites 10 ayahs, لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ, he will not be classified from those who are heedless of Allah. He will be one who is active and conscious and aware and close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then look at the next daraja. Those who come, مَنْ قَامَ بِمِئَ آيَةٍ كَانَ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. But if you can stand up in the middle of the night and recite 100 ayahs, how many? 100 ayahs. That means you have to memorize them as well. But 100 ayahs, then he's from whom? Min al-qanitin. He's from those who are the most devout and closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who come, man qama bi alfi ayah, kana min al-muqantareen. Those who recite 1,000 ayahs. See, look, start from 10, go to 100 and go to 1,000. So this is not just, you know, do something in Ramadan, after Ramadan, Allah la khair salah. No, this is a lifetime thing. Just the way that you walk and how you carry yourself, the way you talk, and also how you spend your nights over your lifetime. You start off with 2, then 4, then 6. You start off with 10 ayah, and then you develop to 200 ayah, and you develop slowly to 1,000 ayah. 1,000 ayah is what? Majority of us, mashallah, here should be able to do that. It's Surah 29 spara and 30 spara, 2 spara, and that's 1,000 ayahs. And you'll be considered as those muqantareen. Who are the muqantareen? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, muqantareen are those who have innumerable, not 1, not 2, not 3, multiple muqantar, mountains of Uhud, of hasanat. Not just one Uhud. Those who've been to Mecca and Medina, those who've seen Uhud, those who've seen Jabal Nur, they see how big it is and large it is. Uhud, multiple mountains of hasanat and hasanat. Those people who recite 1,000 ayah in the middle of the night, solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They choose to be up. They choose to get up and spend their night in this way. Whether it is 10 ayah, brothers, 100 ayah, or 50 ayah, whatever it can be, choose to get up to perform qiyamul layl for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and perform qiyamul layl for one of two reasons. One of two reasons. Either perform qiyamul layl because you have so many blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you want to thank Allah azza wa jal for all of your blessings. Because this is true shukr. During the day when you're doing fajr, zuhr, asr, maghrib, isha, you have to do that. True shukr is when nobody is looking. True shukr is there when your boss doesn't expect it from you and you're still there doing overtime and you don't want any money, you don't want anything in return. You're just doing it because you are thankful that you have a job in this place. You have stability, you have safety, you have security, you have everything because of that job. This is true shukr. So you're getting up and doing qiyamul layl, even if it's 2 rak'at, because you are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one reason to do qiyamul layl. And the second reason is if you have lots of sin, get up and do tawbah and do istighfar and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of us are either in the first category or the second category, but we must stand up and take a portion of our night, because we don't need 8 hours. We don't need all of that. And when we, you know, put our mind over our body, we are able to get up in the middle of the night. You can get up. Majority of buzurgs, they get up for going to the toilet. Theek hai na? It's haqeeqat. When as they get older, they have to get up to go to the toilet. Use that opportunity, do wudu, pray two rakat and go back to bed, subhanAllah. We get up in the middle of the night, those who have children, to put our kids to bed because they're screaming, we've had a bad dream. You're up anyway, do wudu, pray two rakat. You're up because you're anxious and worried about your akhirah, get up and pray two rakat. You want to be thankful to Allah, get up in the middle of the night, pray two rakat. You are regretful of all of the sins that you have done in your past, get up and pray two rakat for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidah Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, she said, Ya Rasulullah, why do you get up every single night, even though all of your previous sins and all of your future sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You get up every single night and your feet and your ankles get swollen. What do they do? Get swollen because the amount of ibadah that you do. Brothers and sisters, ask yourself, when was the first time ever in our life, when we stood up for such a long time, where our ankles got swollen, where our feet got swollen? We don't. This is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, all past, all present, all future sins forgiven. He's protected by Allah Azza wa Jal, but he's standing in the middle of the night doing Qiyamul Layl. Even though he has nothing to worry about, he has been promised Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guaranteed Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but his feet, his ankle gets swollen up. But me and you, who have no clue where we're going to end up, can anybody guarantee where you're going to end up? None of us, including myself, nobody knows where we are going to end up, yet we are sleeping all through our nights. And there he was, standing up in the middle of the night, praying and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his response was, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful and thankful slave to my Lord? We should get up and be thankful to Allah for everything that he has given us. And if you can't think of something to be thankful for, think about all of the things, the put that you have done, and be regretful and ask for tawbah and istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So get up, my dear brothers and sisters. Even if it will take you 5-10 minutes each night, do that and know that this is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descended to the lowest of heaven. This is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is smiling at you. This is the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing his love towards you. This is the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you glad tidings. This is the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is getting closer to you, and you have his exclusive attention from the 2 billion Muslims. You will be a handful, perhaps, in the hundreds and thousands. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, where there'll be billions and trillions of people. But on that day, imagine you're in the front row to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you are those exclusive servants who got up in the middle of the night, and you'll be there at the front in comparison to the billions of people who'll be standing all the way there. You'll be at the front because you are Ibadur Rahman. You are those yabituna li rabbihim sujjadan wa qiyama. So the month of Ramadan, our Taraweeh was our Qiyamul Layl. We trained for that and we did that and we achieved that. We can do that after the month of Ramadan as well. Start off with doing something after your witr and after your isha, then get up in the middle of the night or get up an hour before Salat al-Fajr. Even if you can't do an hour, 5 minutes before Fajr begins, get up. Be from those people who are yabituna, spending their nights li rabbihim, for their Lord, exclusively sujjadan wa qiyama, in a state of sajda and in a state of qiyama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the ibadur rahman. Make our walk the way that he wants us, make our talk the way he wants us, and make our nights, our qiyama and our sajda in his worship and his ibadah, because we choose to prostrate and submit solely to him. Jazakumullahu khairan. Inshallah, we'll continue next week on Monday. Please do join us.